The last couple of years have been one for the books, to say the least. It is so exciting to get back to live audiences, whether it is a concert, sporting event, theater, etc. Whatever it is that you are looking for, I've got the perfect place for you. Megaseats.com. I know I'm not the only one who hates going to purchase tickets, seeing the ones you want, hitting that checkout button, and a price pops up and you're like, whose tickets are these? They cannot be mine. Well, with Megaseats.com, the price you see is the price you get. No, really. No hidden fees at checkout. Type in the code SSAWNETWORK in all caps at checkout and also receive a 10% discount. Your next live event is just a click away. Welcome back to Cover Zero. You are tuning in to our NFL Wildcard Weekend recap show. We have a lot to go over. This weekend was definitely a little wild. How are you guys doing tonight?
Tough. Licking my wounds.
Licking my wounds. Yeah, man, this one's tough, man. This one's tough. I mean, it was good to be here in the playoffs and all of that, man. But this was one game I felt like we could win, you know, because of, well, obviously we're going to get into it, but this is one I feel like we could have won.
For sure. So let's actually get into that. We're going to start with our first wild card game of the weekend, which was the Raiders versus Bengals. Now, I remember I told y'all I chose you. I was rooting for you. This is not normal. I definitely, it's not a normal thing. I didn't trust the Bengals. Obviously, the Bengals came out with that win. But it was still a game that I believe you guys could have won. So I'm definitely going to start out with my Raider fellows on this one. So I'll start out with Jordan. What do you think, what are your thoughts actually on your team in this game? And why do you think y'all ended up losing this particular game?
Really, honestly, it took too many, there was too many drives that could have ended in touchdowns that didn't to start things off. We're a team that's better suited to play, you know, not necessarily going to come from behind in a huge type of shootout that can happen at times. But with this newly assembled Raiders squad that got us into the playoffs, winning their last four, you know, it was working better if you were in a one possession game. And there were just early like mistakes that could have been avoided and could have been dodged. If we were to rewind and look at it, the first one that pops out to me was Trey Hendrickson's sack on Carr. Right. It was a third and, you know, seven, you know, manageable, but on the long side. And had Foster Moreau one-on-one on Trey Hendrickson.
Stupid.
Like this cannot happen. This cannot happen. We saw the same thing. Henry, you can relate to this as well as a Bengals fan. When Trey Hendrickson had a sack when you guys played them the first time in Baltimore, he got singled up on Patrick Ricard. Sack. Like, I don't understand how offensive coordinators or even, like, anyone looking at this, like, when we need to have, like, a...
Why would you even scheme it up?
Right. Like, how do you think this... How is this supposed to work on the whiteboard? You go into these games and you dial up these plans and these matchups you want to take advantage of. And then when it's a gotta-have-it type of third down, you know you're going to need a little bit longer for a car to be able to scan the field, for your receivers to get downfield past the sticks. And you're going to put your second tight end on their best pass rusher. I just this you that missed that right there. Carr didn't even see him coming. You saw when he got up after the fumble, he was like, who was it? Like, he didn't even know he was behind it.
Yeah, he did. Right.
He did.
Yeah, you know, and so it's that's poor design. That is, you cannot expect that to be able to be a result of a good play for your team in playoff football. I'm sorry, you made it way too easy on your opposition. There was, at one point in that game, every single Raider offensive lineman got a penalty.
Yep.
Every single one of them did at different phases. It was bad. It was bad. False starts, holding calls, you know, whatever it was. There was then on the special teams, on one of the special teams plays, Peyton Barber was back there as the kick returner. We all saw it. Ball's about to go out of bounds. He either has to let the ball go out of bounds and we get it on the 40, 35-yard line, illegal procedure, or he establishes himself out of bounds first and then touches the ball. He does the one thing you can't do and then puts us up against a wall where we're already starting that drive. It just seemed like the field positions were often flipped for where each team was starting their drives. When anytime it was led to a defensive stop, we were had a, the defense, you know, stood up and at least didn't allow touchdowns when the offense and the special teams and other areas of this of the team put their backs against the wall. The defense had a couple of drives where they held them to three, but the Bengals only gained 2 yards after the strip sack. I mean, or after these times when we were just boneheaded plays, just gave them gifts of field positions.
Right.
So that's really the first takeaway. Beyond that, I mean, the second half, I mean, they turned up the pressure on Carr. Our offensive line, just as something I talked about, being able to manage all of what they're going to do up front. They started sending a lot of blitzes, and it ended up being problemsome. Sometimes there was people open. Carr may have not been able to get to the ball to him. And this was funny. A lot of people were texting me, like, what's up with Carr's passes? Does he have a thumb?
Because it's on Carr.
Like, his stuff was looking like wobbly, wobbly, whoopty, and like just – he was not throwing with a lot of velocity.
Right.
And, you know, I don't know if it's cold weather. And the thing is I've noticed this with him. When Carr, and you know this too, Josiah, I mean, as much as we watch the Raiders and everything, when Carr is faced with pressure, his lower body will lock. This was a knock on him as a prospect coming out of Fresno State. Yeah. You know, his lower body will lock and he just throws with his arm. Sometimes it ends up being okay. Other times it's like, what the hell just happened? Because he is not stepping into a throw.
Right.
And so anytime you're going to do that, lock your lower body, throw a lob pass, like a touch pass in that type of weather condition. Yeah. And that ball is going to come out that way. It's just the way it is. Right. And that's on Carr for it coming out that way. But it was a tough loss. I mean, as we were talking before the show started, missed open receivers, you know, some questionable decisions with Carr and who he was electing to throw to. He had missed Deshaun on an over route. He's maybe starting in with a wrong read. He's not paying attention to his alerts, whatever it was. I just think that this was an opportunity that was there. There was a game that was there for us to take, and just, you know, game of inches, rolls of the ball this way or that way, lack of mental mistakes. And this could have been a win. It should have been a win, but unfortunately it wasn't. So.
Yeah. I'm gonna add to that. The miscues, you know, all the mistakes that we made, we should have won this game, period. You know, and the reason why I said, you know, it's always on Carr, and I get what you're saying. He made mistakes as well. But what be getting me with certain fans is that the first person they blame is Derek Carr.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be the only person they blame. That's fine. Go ahead and blame him, but make sure you know everything else that happened in that game. This offensive line was trash today, period. They let a lot of pressure get to Carr. The penalties. This is why I say, you know, we need new coaching, because the discipline just wasn't there. You know, Peyton Barber been in the league for a little minute now. How do you not know that? Let the ball go out of bounds. What are you doing?
I mean, you got one bad decision. Like, there's one way you can fuck this up.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
One way.
You know, you know, what were you thinking? And then on top of that, you're the guy that's the head coach is a special teams coach. So those type of, you know, the last thing you want to see is one thing to have mistakes on the other units when you're a head coach. It's another to have mistakes on the unit you specialize in. So, I mean, that right there was a mistake, obviously. And then offensive line with the penalties, like you said, Jordan, everybody had a hold or something. And I get it. The crowd was loud. But we've been one of the better road teams this year. So I don't really want to hear the crowd was loud and all of that. We've been pretty good on the road this year. For the last couple of years, we've been pretty good on the road, not really good at home. And it's just the way we played. We played like it was our first playoff game, which is true. It is. Especially for this team. And there's only a couple players that's been there and been further than that. But the Bengals, that also was their first playoff playoff game, and they looked like they was ready for the playoffs. They were better coached and prepared and ready. I'm not blaming everything on Rich or anything. I'm just saying that we weren't disciplined enough. We should have won that game. The red zone was a big issue. It's been an issue forever. I mean, mm-hmm. since John Gruden really took, maybe even before John Gruden got here, it's been bad going over there in the red zone and just kicking field goals. And part of it is Carr not seeing the whole field, and then part of it is the play calling, you know. And it's just that's why this loss is frustrating, because as a Raider fan, when you look at that game and you look at the mistakes that we made, this was a win for us, you know. Mm-hmm. Regardless, you look at Josh Jacobs, look at the numbers he was doing. My number one thing, Jordan, as you posted on Twitter and said, hey, you know, five keys to win a game, my number one was effective rushing attack. And, you know, mm-hmm. it was effective, but because we fell behind, and I think right. the team and the coaching staff started to panic a little bit, they felt like we had to score quickly, and that's what happened, you know. And we kind of did, in a sense. The game wasn't out of reach, but it felt like it was getting out of reach.
Well, and you're right. And that, too, like, penalties then would take it from, like, you know, second-ish and manageable to, like, second and 16.
Right.
You know what I mean? You can't now the run game, like, second and 16, second and 18, you run the ball.
It doesn't matter. Yeah.
Like, I mean, you're taking yourself out of your own game plan. I hear you 100%.
Yeah. And then the wide receivers, DeSean Jackson, he dropped the pass, got mad at him for that. But then he caught one, and it was a penalty on, I don't think, Alex Leatherwood, I think. You know, and him and his penalties. You know, that's one thing to not be that good your rookie year or any year. And then, you know, it's another for you to not be good and then be committing dumb penalties, you know. So he has to get better. I know Colton Miller struggled his first year. Hopefully Alex gets better. And, you know, next year I'm assuming they're going to move him back to right tackle. He has a long off season for himself to get better, get stronger, work on his technique, just everything. Work on everything, because he has a lot to work on. But, yeah, this offensive line, this is where the offensive line and the miscues, the penalties, all of that to me is what – is why we lost the game. And the Bengals came in and they did what they were supposed to do. There was times too I felt like we were being outcoached. That offensive coordinator over there, was it Brian Callahan or whatever? I mean, he just, you know, they didn't score touchdowns every drive.
No.
They didn't, obviously. And that one.
Right.
And I'm glad you didn't bring it up, Jordan. I'm bringing it up just because it's just a credit to the defense, because I do feel like the defense did good enough.
Yes.
That's why I'm bringing this up. But I know a lot of people, oh, what if it's, you know, and the play call or the whistle was blown. Yeah, it was a bad call, and he's getting punished for that. You know, it is what it is with that. But at the same time, we still had a chance to win that game. We beat ourselves throughout that whole game, first quarter all the way up to fourth quarter. We beat ourselves in that game. And, you know, so that was one thing. But the defense, going back to that too, outside of that touchdown, they would have only had one touchdown.
Right, just like us, yep.
Yeah, the defense stopped. They field goals. They was keeping them to field goals. But going back to Brian Callahan, he was doing enough to get that team down there and for them to not commit no type of dumbass penalties or anything like that, for them to go up and at least get three on just about every drive, if not every drive. I think there was one drive or two drives where they had a punt, you know, and I think that came in the second half.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, they had scoring drives on their first five, but you're right, only two were TD.
Yeah, you know, so, and then the one, obviously, but, and then Derek Carr, too. I mean, you know, this is coming from a fan that's looking at the whole thing, just like you. We're looking at the whole game. Everybody's getting blamed for this, not just one player or one unit. You know, Derek Carr and his vision not seeing the whole field is just frustrating, you know. This just him, that pass that he threw, which I didn't even, you know, me and my boy that's about to talk next, Henry, we talked about it. I didn't even really realize it wasn't in the end zone. I just see an interception and just knew the game was over. Didn't really look where his foot was placed or anything like that. But it wasn't going to be a touchdown anyway, and it was fourth and goal. Carr just has to be better than that. You have to be better than that. I know he's led drives, and he's 30, and he has 30 drives or whatever it is. You know what I'm saying? But you're in the playoffs. You had time, too. That's another thing.
Yeah, he wasn't. Yeah, he had time on that one.
He had time, bro. He had time, you know, and even a couple plays before that, Brian Baldinger, you know, he does great breakdowns. You know, there's a couple plays before that. Brian Edwards was open on one play. You know, Carr has a tendency to only trust a couple or one wide receiver, and he goes for that, and he paid for it. I mean, Zay Jones was covered. It was
double covered.
triple man coverage. It was three people there. There was no Carr was not. It wasn't happening. And even if it would have happened, it would have been the blame probably would have been on Zay Jones because it's like, well, he was right there. Why couldn't he stretch? But actually, no, it would have been on Derek Carr. They still would have blamed him for it. But I don't know what Derek Carr was thinking. That right there, you know, just was a dumbass throw. He has to be better than that, you know. And as far as the Bengals, they did what they were supposed to do. They looked great. Joe Burrow looked great. Joe Mixon did what he was supposed to do. The defense played well. You know, going back to what you said, too, the play calling. I mean, you don't put Foster Moreau. He's just, you know, tight ends for one, most of them, you know, that's why George Kittle is respected so highly. Because not only can he catch, but he can block real well, too. I mean, Darren Waller, who is a top tight end, he's not a great blocker. He's okay. You know, he's good at times. Our second, and that's for the Raiders, Foster, he's a terrible blocker. So for you to put him on a pass rusher, you know, their best pass rusher, Trey Hendrick, it just didn't make no sense at all. So I don't know who thought. And then if you do happen to draw that up, why is Jalen Richard not chip blocking something? If you happen to just go along with that play, that scheme of things, shouldn't have been called anyway, but if you do it, you got to chip block him. Come on now. That just didn't make no sense. So, you know, it is what it is. Congrats to the Bengals. But, yeah, that was that just was a bad performance on the Raiders. I mean, we were almost there, but it just wasn't. Overall, that game, it almost felt like that game should have been the Bengals. It almost felt like the Bengals should have had a bigger lead. But somehow we were right. Still, you know. So, it is what it is.
So now I want perspective from the outside looking in. So I'm going to ask Henry the same question.
I honestly think the Raiders beat themselves, honestly.
Right.
I didn't think that. I've 100% thought the Raiders were the better team on Saturday. And I'm just speaking all honesty. I know the Bengals and the Ravens division, but – yeah, I think the Raiders beat themselves. And I'm surprised. I thought one of you guys was going to mention it. Did you guys think that?
We did.
No. I was going to say something. You guys don't think that one play when some of the players quit or they supposedly say they heard a whistle?
I did. Yeah. I mentioned that, yeah.
Okay. I mentioned it, yeah, the whistle. But that's one. I mean, yeah, you take away that touchdown. They're getting punished for it. That referee.
Yeah, I believe they're not refereeing.
No, they're not, yeah.
Yeah, right. Which – I question that, by the way, because that the crew that lead Jerome is a black
Jerome Boger.
Yeah, I'm just gonna say this real quick. You normally don't even hear about referees getting punished. It normally don't even get out like that at all. I never really even seen his crew. He's normally a good ref. I've never really seen him being a Raider fan. You know, a lot of calls don't go our way. I don't remember his crew really being part of any of our games where the calls don't go our way or it's unfair, whatever it is. So he has a pretty good crew, it seems like. They did make a crucial call, and it should be happening, but it's kind of weird how his crew is being it's just out and open like that. I've never seen that. I've never seen the NFL announce, oh well, crew is going to be right. Not gonna be able to, you know, and he's leading that crew and he's black. That bothered me too. But anyway, yeah, Henry, Trayvon Morey talked about that too.
What did he say?
He said that I heard a whistle. I stopped on the play.
Okay.
And
he was a dude in coverage, and even Tyler Boyd like looked around confused.
Yeah,
when he caught the TD, he's like, "What happened?"
Yeah, Jerome came in, being the head ref, the white cap. You go over there, you know, he should have overturned it. I don't know how he allowed that to happen. So yeah, that was a
right. It's one thing to have an inadvertent whistle like they did, and the whistle was thrown while the ball was in the air when Joe let the pass go while in bounds. The ball was right. Just started to go in its trajectory in the air, and then there is a whistle. You hear it on the replay. You hear it on the live view. You know what I mean? You hear the whistle, and then the catch is there. What should have been called is that, okay, there was an inadvertent whistle, play dead. What happened after that, we have to redo it. We have to redo this down, re-put the clock there. You can't just act like it didn't happen.
It happened.
Right.
It's unbelievable.
You know, but like you said too, Josiah, I'm with you 100%. Like, yeah, that sucks. And refs are going to make mistakes as well. But I don't think that, like, there's a lot of Raider fans and Twitter and Texas, this is why we lost, and on Facebook and all this shit. The refs jobbed us, blah, 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 blah. No. Sure, bad call. It should have been flipped around and went the other way. And, you know, then it's who they would have scored again. We would have stopped them. I mean, who knows? At the end of the day, the Raiders had the ball, one possession game, 7 points left, and a drive, and you were in scoring position, and you were picked.
Yeah. Plus, all the times we got there in the red zone, we didn't score touchdowns. That's been the problem with this team over the last 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 10 years. However long you want, it's been a problem with this team. So that's one issue, but we beat ourselves.
Yeah, that was a big call, but yeah, I 100% believe you guys beat yourselves. It seemed like every time you broke some type of big play, you always saw that yellow flag right there on the floor. You know,
just right.
Big runs up, pick up the flag, bring it right back, and they just kept stalling your guys' driving, just like Josiah said, getting 3 points and not getting 7 points. So I 100% believe that was a difference in the game. And you know, in the playoffs, you know, just like you guys alluded to, you know, Derek Carr missing like those wide open players in the playoffs, that's literally the difference with winning or taking your ass right home. So those just key plays that you got to make. You got to everything has to be times two in the playoffs. It's that much more intensity. But yeah, I 100% believe you guys beat yourself. You guys were 100% the better football team that day. You just didn't show with all the penalties and you guys just shooting yourselves in the foot.
Definitely agree with all those. And as you guys know that I chose, well, actually, the last time we spoke, remember I was going back and forth between the two scores. I was like, I really believe in you guys, but I have this. And like, I actually ended up choosing you guys with the score of what I said, 27-21. It was just those penalties. Every time I would see something and then that yellow flag came out, I was like, Jesus, like what? Like,
not this.
Can you help yourself? You know what I mean? There wasn't like Henry said, beating yourselves. It was almost to that point where I was just like, well, dang, like what else do you want, you know, to happen other than cleaning up your own shit and, you know, coming through with that win? Because I really did think that in the end, you guys could have come out with that win, and I thought that you guys could have been the better team, and that's no diss to what the Bengals did and Joe Burrow and all of that, but I definitely thought that this particular weekend, this particular matchup could had such good chances to ending your favor is what I'm gonna say with that. And just, you know, throughout the game, there were definitely those mistakes that just can't happen when you are in this caliber of the season. And so, you know, it didn't quite work out for you guys. Now, what I want to do is move to our next playoff game, which I definitely didn't see being this much of I'm like, holy crap. I was like, okay, third matchup, let's go. We're about to see this like whole battle. No, it was not. 47-17. Now, had we been, okay, so let me tell you guys, had we been doing our regular segments on this show, the Bills and specifically Josh Allen were definitely going to be my ICU because, I mean, 5 touchdowns, they came out and they like put the gas pedal on and they just did not stop. I have never seen, like, well, I don't want to say never, but I think it's been since 2004. When the Colts played, that there has been 0 punts, 0 turnovers from a playoff team. They were ready. They came, like when you talk about showing up for like the assignment, being prepared, like, you know, all of that prep coming into playoffs, I can't say that the Bills did not do everything that they needed to do when they showed up. They were ready. So I'm interested in hearing what your guys' take on this particular matchup was. And I'm actually going to start with Josiah on this one. What did you see in this game that maybe even just from the Bills' perspective that shows you that they are ready for playoffs, they're ready for this next level, they're here. They made that statement, and this is it.
You know what? It's crazy because I thought they was here last year, you know, when they
were
the Chiefs. I think I was one of the Chiefs. I think it was. When they were in the playoffs, I thought maybe they would be able to pull it off. Can't remember who they played and they lost. But, you know, here they are in this second go around and playing the Patriots. You know, me and Jordan talked about this. I didn't think they had a real answer for Josh Allen. Like the first time they beat them with the whole running the ball and whatnot, you know, not being able to stop the ball and Matt Jones only throwing, you know, was three attempts, completed two passes, whatever it was, that wasn't gonna happen. We've seen that in the game before this. You know, mm-hmm. Josh played a good game. Matt Jones didn't play a good game. And, you know, the Bills showed that they was a better team. And that's what happened in this game here. Josh Allen was unstoppable. You know, one of the things that I brought up in our preview was that how was they going to be able to stop the dual threat? Him running the ball and him being able to draw those safeties and those linebackers to him and being able to wear them out by getting them tired and then being able to either run for a first down or gaining 7, 8 yards, 10 yards possibly, or even more, or throwing a pass deep, you know. I mean, and he was completing them. He had an outstanding game today. You know, I don't know what else really to say. I believe he had no turnovers. Was it five touchdowns?
Five touchdowns.
He balled out. He took over the game. Brian Daboll, who better get a head coaching job. I don't care where he go. I really think this guy is going to be a pretty good head coach. You know, just like the game plan he did, he trusted his QB to do what he did in the last game and to even do better. And that's exactly what he did, man. They didn't care who was on the other side coaching. They didn't care if it was, you know, Bill Belichick. They didn't care Josh McDaniels. They didn't care about none of that. They came in
here
to take care of business, and that's exactly what they did, man. You know, and then Matt Jones and that offense just couldn't get nothing going. Their offense is not, you know, he's a rookie QB. I actually thought he had a good season. You know, he kind of started to dwindle down at the end of the season. But I think out of all the rookies, you know, even my guy, Justin Fields, he played better than all the other guys, Zach Wilson, Trevor Lawrence by far. You know, I know he's with a great coaching staff and all of that, but still, you still got to play well. And he beat out somebody like Cam Newton early in the season. I mean, we didn't think that would happen. What happened with Cam Newton, Matt Jones coming in and Cam Newton getting released or whatever, you know, we didn't think that was going to happen. So he showed something, and he showed it all season. So I thought he played really, really well. I thought Josh McDaniels, you know, had some good plays for him and stuff like that. But the Bills is just a better team, period. I mean, again, going back to what when we talked about it, me and Jordan, we felt that this offense was going to be hard to stop. It was going to be hard to stop this offense, and it was going to be hard for them to really keep up. So even if it was a close game, because we all thought it was going to be a closer game than what it was. Even if it was a close game, we thought at some point the Bills was going to pull away. But they pulled away in the first half, and it was, you know, no looking back since. So, yeah, this right here was a Josh Allen game. You know, he took over the game. He did exactly what he was supposed to do. The Bills is my team to go to the Super Bowl this year.
Okay.
So, you know, I made that prediction few months ago on Forte Radio on Emmanuel Watson's podcast. Check that out. You know, I think they got it. So, you know, they did what they were supposed to do. They did better than what we thought they were going to do.
So they did. Ways for I sure. Think
that game was Josh Allen really just taking over the game. Brian Daboll is the amazing play caller that he is and how he did.
I mean, just I agree with basically everything that you were talking about. I didn't pick them to go all the way to the Super Bowl like you did. And at any point in the season, I haven't said that. But, I mean, based off of this first weekend of the playoffs, goddamn. I mean, they look as scary as – they look the scariest, right? Like, out the gate, first game, you know, I'm not going to change all my predictions just off one game. But right now, we're setting the table for this Bills and Chiefs game. to take place next week. I mean, if you're the Chiefs knew they were going to run into the Bills at some point, and the Bills basically designed this team to be able to take them on. But just in this game, it was from the get-go, from the first drive, when they put in, who is that dude? Number 41 on the Bills. They've started to use him recently. It's like the only like fullback I've ever seen them do out there. Right. And they run in QB sweeps to his side, double pullers going to his side as well. And he threw that touchdown to Dawson Knox. And like, it was almost just Ian Eagle said it himself right on the broadcast. And excuse me, touchdown. Like, how did that still end up being completed? Where he put that ball escaping out of structure and just doing everything that he did. And from then on, it was just in that very first drive for the Patriots. I like first, I'm looking at like the notes I wrote down. Like, there was a, what was it? A third and 14 in the first drive that Mac Jones had. And he actually completed this. He actually completed this pass. Like, Mac Jones throwing bombs in the field. Mac Jones running for first downs and stuff like that, until he then throws the interception to Micah Hyde. And that Bills defense then go ahead and complimenting the offense. And it never stopped. We had an 80-yard drive from this Bills offense to start things out, followed by that Micah Hyde interception that I was just highlighting. Then we had a 70-yard drive to the Micah Hyde pick, then an 80-yard TD drive, then a three and out, then another 81-yard TD drive, then another New England punt, then an 89-yard TD drive, then another interception, 58 more yards for a TD.
Right.
I mean, like, this is crazy. This kept
the gift that kept on giving for them.
The Bills hit the over under themselves.
They did.
Like, come on. I mean, first team this century to score a touchdown on their first five drives. And guess what? They went out there and scored another touchdown on the next drive and another touchdown on the next drive. Seven drives, seven TDs. And these weren't just like gifted field positions. No. They were marching down the field. And I mean, the ball that Allen threw to Emmanuel Sanders, the play action, he rolls left, resets his hips and lands his feet, just throws a bomb back at the end zone, where the one where Josh is, he's scrambling. I want to say this was in, what was it? The first quarter, second quarter, towards the end of it. They're like on their own, like 25. He scrambles left. And one of the DBs is like, got a chance to just like hit him. Right. And make contact. And Allen puts this dude just on skates and makes him crumble. It's like you were saying, like, Josiah, like, what do you do?
Right.
Now, if I'm Steve Spagnuolo and I'm thinking, all right, I'm going to have to make a game plan to go ahead and stop this guy. I'm not going to think about it like as a sense of like, you know what, this, you're going to obviously cater to what your team does well and maybe try to get him in a advantageous position. But I don't know what that is right now for him. I really don't. It's not like Bill Belichick hasn't seen him before, and not like Bill Belichick. That's like the question I asked you. Do you think there's anything else up left his sleeve that he's going to throw at Allen?
Right.
Just to answer.
Yeah. Going against the best.
This was against the number two defense. And I mean, just, yeah, this team right now is just playing some really standout ball, and their offense looks scary. And just with how good the defense has been all year and has no signs of slowing down. Yeah, Buffalo is – the Bills Mafia is very happy. And anyone who gets in their way looks like they might get whacked. So we'll get to whatever's next with them coming up soon.
Mafia, that was good. That was good.
And I'm not even going to go against that, because Bills Mafia is there. They make themselves known each time. Shout out to them. You did that. Now, Henry, what are your thoughts on this particular matchup?
Yeah, they looked really, really good. They looked damn near impossible to stop. And that's on all three phases of the football. Offense, defense, and special teams. You can't – what you were looking at yesterday, and especially everybody knows Bill Belichick is probably the defensive mind guru over there, and he made him look like an absolute rookie coach that just did not know what he was doing. I love the play designs that Brian Daboll was doing, and I agree with you. So I think he's 100% should be a head coach this next season, because – the way that his offense has been rolling these past 2 years with Josh Allen has been phenomenal. The way he be using his receivers, the way he uses his tight ends, And you got to think he's doing this without not, what, maybe a bottom 25 run game?
Yeah.
Their best run game is Josh Allen.
So yeah.
Him doing that. So just imagine if he did have a run game, what top 15 run game, what he can do with an offense. And he's doing it with a bottom half offense. So you just got to commend what you see that man doing over there. So, the game was a blowout. And then me and Josiah and my girlfriend and one of my good friends, Mark, we was at Fleming's. Shout out to Fleming's. Y'all should go ahead and sponsor SSAW. We was at the bar just enjoying a good meal and watching the game. We're like, this is over. Everybody knew it was over after the second quarter, because it seemed like Bill Belichick had no type of answer at all for what Josh Allen and that offense over there was doing. Defense was making great plays, making Mac Jones look like what he was, a rookie, not being able to do nothing at all. So, yeah, that next week game versus the Chiefs is going to be something to watch for, and you're 100% right. That's what people were saying, that when the Patriots were winning the division, like, well, yeah, they built the team for the Chiefs, but they didn't even try to build a team to win their division, even though they still did win their division. But they did build the team for the Chiefs. They got for the pass rushers to try to get to Patrick Mahomes. So it's going to be a good game. I do think a big loss for them is I bet you they wish they had Tre'Davious White for this game, because he could have been
a big
difference for this game. So I think that loss might hinder them a little bit, especially when you're going up against those offensive weapons and that speed over there and that offense for the Chiefs. But it should still be a good game.
That's a good point. Great point, actually, with White not being available.
Definitely. So then we're going to move to the following day matchups. So the first game we had on Sunday is Eagles. I was trying. Look, see, y'all playing me because I was trying to hype it up as best as I could. But let me go here and just spit it out. Eagles versus Tampa Bay. Now, actually, let me be honest about this game. I obviously had Tampa Bay winning, right? Being a squad that also, I felt the Eagles in this because, again, as a squad last year, who was Jordan, not supposed to be there at all, was supposed to be last, right? Like, like coming in and just being, it's not just Tampa Bay, but it's also Tom Brady. Like, holy crap, you know, like, talk about experience versus just, like, not even just, it's a lot. So I didn't expect the first half of this game to go the way it did. I guess I expected, it's great experience for the Eagles, and that's, we've discussed that on previous episodes. I was like, you know, if the Eagles do make it, it'll be a great experience for Hurts and et cetera, like they're rebuilding. But I did expect them to put up something in that first half, and I didn't quite get that. Again, I want you guys, when you give me this breakdown for this particular game, what do you guys see? Did you see enough from Tampa Bay moving forward for them to make a clear run in this division? Or what do you guys see happening with the Bucs on this one?
I don't. I think the loss of Tristan Wirfs.
Yeah.
It's huge. I think it was very, very huge.
Agreed.
Of course, he was able to get away with it versus the Eagles. And I know the Eagles got some stout defensive players over there on that defensive line. But then again, I mean, we know you can get past because their secondary isn't too stout besides Darius Slay. So I'm going to say no. That Tristan Wirfs loss, I think that's huge. And I know Ryan Jensen got nicked up in there. He did come back in the game, but he didn't, after the game, them injuries can get a little bit worse because, you know, all the adrenaline is running and such. So we got to see what happens with him throughout the rest of the week. But, yeah.
Do we know if Wirfs is out, like, going forward? I don't think it's been defined yet, but you're right. I mean, if he's questionable and can't go, yeah.
Yeah, so that loss was huge because we saw how big he was last year for them. I think some people rated him as the best right tackle as a rookie last year because that's how he was doing last year. So I think that's going to hinder them a lot. Hopefully, their backup can hold his own. I don't think he can. You know, when you're going up later in the playoffs, you're going to play against some pretty good pass rushers coming up. So I think that was huge. And then speaking of the Eagles, I didn't like what I saw from them at all. Taylor Hurts, he just missed way too. I said Josiah Taylor, like, he's sorry. Now, the dudes are one. He had Quez like twice open. Had the dude beat at least 5 yards. Overthrowing him. It's just like, bro, you have these dudes wide open. You keep missing these throws. And it just seems when I saw that one thing, like 17-0, 21-0, whatever it was, I was like, I don't see them losing because they're the number one rushing team. And Jalen Hurts is real good when he has that lead. And they don't have to depend on his arm. So I 100% think that the Eagles are going to probably try to do something with those three first-round picks that they have this year and try to do something at quarterback.
Yeah.
Oh.
They got the ammunition.
That's spicy.
They got the ammunition. So I think
– interesting.
Because you got to think, the head coach, he loves the pass. Remember in the beginning of the year, they were passing crazy. And then Nick Versace was just realized, like, yeah, this guy's not the guy. Let me just run the ball. So he found a little formula. So, because remember, he didn't draft him. He wasn't there when they drafted Jalen Hurts. So I think that they're going to maybe take a quarterback or use some ammunition and maybe go get a veteran.
I'm with you, bro.
That's how I feel.
I feel I'm with you, man. I feel like we have seen the limitations of Jalen Hurts and with the offensive line they had, and that when they switched to that run game, that was as much as we can do to help Jalen. But if there's throws over the middle of the field constantly, not just this season, last season too, in a limited timetable, it's just he either doesn't target him, or when he does, it's late, or it's off target, or it's behind him. It's just, it's all bad.
Yeah, I agree. Jalen Hurts, man. I mean, there was a lot of misses in that game. You know, we've seen that throughout the season, like Henry said. I mean, they kind of was directing the offense away from him. You know, they was mainly running the ball. They was letting him run the ball over it rather than him throwing the ball, you know. So it really showed where this offense is really predicated to as far as, like, how he's able to operate, you know, in a passing game and what they're able to do in the running game, and they went with the running game. I think that's an interesting call because they do have those first-round picks, and they could go QB there. The QB class is not that strong, but, I mean, because of where they're going to land and how the QBs may drop, they may go somewhere there. It's going to be interesting to see. I don't think Eagle fans are really going to like that. I know a lot of, at least on the page, shout out to SSAW, a lot of them like Jalen Hurts. They feel like he's the truth or whatever it is. But if you're watching that game right there, there's no way you could feel like he didn't have no mistakes or only a couple mistakes. He had a lot of mistakes in that game, missing open wide receivers, open tight ends, just open passes. That was easy passes for you to make. You know, in the defense, we knew Tampa Bay was going to put up points. I mean, we knew that, you know, we knew that was going to happen. But the defense did get after Tom Brady. They did get after him for sure. And I felt like if the Eagles offense was able to keep up some way and Jalen was able to make some type of, I mean, complete some passes at some point, you know, get on a roll with that, then they could have made it a game. But it just wasn't, you know, it wasn't it. As far as the, you know, the Tampa Bay, I feel like now that was, I mean, Wirfs being out, that's huge because they are going to be going against some top pass rushers, you know, and we've seen what the Niners was able to do. We're going to see tomorrow, obviously, you know, we know what game is coming up tomorrow for that, or today, I should say, you know, so if they have some pass rushers they're going to have to get through if they make it that far. But I do think this team is equipped and ready. If they could somehow, I don't know how they're going to be able to make up for that, because Wirfs is legit. I mean, Henry brought up a good
– Oh, bro.
Yeah, he's legit, bro. He is legit, you know. And I want to – Jordan, I want to say you're the one that had him number – I don't know who guy. Had him. You had guy. Him number one, right? Somebody
that
had him.
That was my guy. That was my number one tackle.
Okay, yeah. You. I mean, and I liked him a lot too, but I know he played – he played – two positions. I don't want to get too deep into it, you know, beside the point. But he was good coming out. But I know, Jordan, you were really high on him. And that's a big loss. That is a big loss. So that's concerning. But outside of that, I like how this Tampa Bay team is playing. they took care of business. You know, Ryan Jensen, him getting hurt, we got to see how serious that is. Like you said, Jordan, too, we got to see how Wirfs, if he's going to be able to come back and play. I think it's some uncertainty right now with these injuries and what they're going to be able to do. I think we obviously know. I think Ryan Jensen didn't even want to be helped off the field. I mean, he was so
No, upset. That's his mentality. That's such a Ryan Jensen play. Like, I'm sitting there watching my brother who doesn't watch football a ton. And I was like, oh, that's Ryan Jensen. He's like, is he good? I'm like, that is a nasty center. He's like, nasty isn't good, right? I was like, oh, yeah, he's a tough dude. And then they go over to help him up, and he's like, the fuck away from me. Like, he's like, yep, that's him, almost on cue. Like,
yeah, bro, yeah. And you like that from your players in the trenches. Defense mm-hmm. linemen, offensive linemen, especially offensive linemen, because, you know, they get quiet just for blocking. But, you know, any real outside average NFL fan know that that's where it starts. It starts in the trenches. You like to see that gritty play, and that's what he brings. So you like to see that, but we don't know how serious that injury is. So we're going to see him and Wirfs, but that is huge. So we'll see. If they're able to come back, I do expect this team to be legit. I don't have them going to the Super Bowl. That wasn't my pick. I'm going to stick with the pick that I have. So, you know, but I do expect them to – they took care of business. I expect them to, you know, to still be a threat, you know, because of who they have over there still. And who they have over there coaching. So, but yeah, this, as far as the Eagles, they made it. You know, it's good. It's good to have them as far as like for the Eagle fans at least. But yeah, they're back on the couch, you know. So, you know, I think everybody really expected that. I don't think nobody had the Eagles. Well, not even Eagle fans.
No, they didn't.
I tried to place a bet with my boy Deshaun. That'd be
honest. I saw that.
Yeah, I tried to place a double or nothing bet with him. He didn't want to do it. He talking about waiting for the injury report. He hit me second quarter into the first quarter talking about.
That was a smart decision, Deshaun.
Well, I mean, by that time, the game already started. I'm saying so. But, I mean, it is what it is, man. The Eagles, they made it. I think Nick is a good head coach, though. I do like him as a head coach. I like what he's been able to do in his present, in his past, him coming in. But I don't – Henry, like I said, brought up a great point with Jalen Hurts. So we're going to see what they do with the QBs possibly dropping in this next draft. So, yeah, but, yeah, Tampa Bay, I feel like they did what they did. We'll see about these injuries.
No, you guys all brought up really good points, and I feel like maybe I'm a little biased coming from a team that like can't keep a starting quarterback to save their life. You know what I'm saying? It's really hard for me to give up on Hurts yet. This game was not at all a game that I look at and I'm like, oh yeah, that's your guy, right? But that being said, I also look at this season and although seeing very inconsistent games, just even play to play from him, I'm not going to give up on him just yet. And that's not even from like a competitive standpoint. That's like, ha ha, Eagles, please keep him so that we maybe next year can. No. I am not going to give up. Speaking from an outsider and as a fan of Hurts and as a person who wants to see Hurts succeed, I know I spoke previously of this being a good experience game for him if they do win it. I didn't want the Eagles to win because of this situation. I don't think they were ready at all, especially Hurts. But I also think that I'm looking forward to is seeing what he does with this experience and the growth that's potentially capable from him. And then I'm going to make my decision probably next year on Hurts being the guy for the Eagles or not.
I'm done with it.
I know, Henry. I know. A lot of people are.
The same that he had in college they translated seamlessly to the NFL in his second year.
They have.
He does have no type of anticipation. He can't throw guys open.
Zero.
It's the same thing that he had at Alabama and Oklahoma.
I know. I know. I can't. That's my see. That's my issue. But that's my issue with it is like I can't even argue that because I'm seeing the same thing. But I don't know. There's something. And I don't get that. I don't get that a lot. That's why I feel like maybe I'm like in this like hole. We can't ever find a quarterback, and you've got to hang on until it's really like drop off. Like I don't know. I don't know what it is about this situation, but I'm like, hang on and try until you can't. And it's really actually not coming from a hang on to him so we can beat y'all next season, like the standpoint. I don't know. We'll see. Well, to be continued on this Hurts situation. I wouldn't be surprised if the Eagles go a different way. I'm not going to be surprised. I'm not going to be like, wow, y'all did him dirty. Or anything like that. But I don't know. It's hard. I don't know. There's something that I'm hanging on to for him specifically that is keeping me going, okay, just let's see. But something I don't need to see more of, this last matchup, Niners-Cowboys, we were all ready for it. And let me tell you something. I understand that I was very adamant about my stance on the Niners taking this one. And I would like to apologize to Cowboys Nation. I would like to apologize to Niners Nation for only picking you to win by 3 because I was wrong. My bad. I thought it would be closer. I'm sorry. Thank you, Niners. Thank you, Niners, for showing up to the stadium like I thought you would. Thank you, Niners, for showing up to the game like I thought you would. Thank you for proving everything that I've been saying all season long about these Cowboys. Thank you. Thank you. And thank you. Now, let me get into this game. The Cowboys. I'm sure you guys remember the last time the Cowboys won the Super Bowl in this league, correct? Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm sure you guys understand how many playoff games the Cowboys have won since then, right? We're talking about 90s for those who like want to kind of like not be like, oh, okay, well, Cowboys, you know, like they're that team. They're America's team. They're the most talented team. They're this, they're that. Then the boys and boys and boys and boys and boys and boys. I hear this every season. And I get it. I do. Rep your squad, right? Here's my thing. And I talk about this a lot, and it's still true to this day. Like, you know, days later, I still live with a Jags fan. I live with a Jags fan who entered the league when your squad entered this league. They entered this league when you won your last Super Bowl. And this crappy, crappy Jags squad I've watched win 7 playoff games since they've entered this league in the 90s. Now, why is it that I have to constantly hear all these things that this Cowboys squad is going to do with all this talent, and there's 2 playoff wins since those 90s that you have to show for it? Again, I'm not choosing my winners or any of that based on like, I don't like y'all. Well, that's clear. I don't like y'all. But here's why I don't like y'all. Because you keep talking this and I'm not seeing these results that come from it. You have a talented squad year after year after year. This was going to be my what's going on with you team. Why can't you back up all this talk we hear every single day of football season? What the heck is going on? This is why I chose against you and with confidence. I don't usually choose upsets just to choose an upset. I choose upsets based on numbers, and the numbers tend to not go in your favor. Why? Why can you show up to your own home game, right? It's a home game. I mean, granted what the audience looks like or not. you're in your own home field, regardless of if you chose to have a stadium east to west and you take off plays because you can't see a ball thrown to you open. Why? why do we, because it's not just me, why do we constantly have to hear how awesome this squad is that can't produce in playoffs? And I'm actually really starting to literally be confused on why that cannot translate to us seeing a team as talented as this one do jack shit in the playoffs. I need help on this one. I need help because I'm not even mad at being wrong sometimes. But are y'all gonna let me be wrong once? Like, cause this ain't it. This is not it. And I understand. Okay, let me tell you, listening to, again, Josiah and Henry go at it about the Cowboys had me rolling. Okay, roll it. Like, that is still to this day one of my favorite episodes ever. But then I also, like, sorry, Josiah was like, I mean, I can't knock Henry because I ain't telling anything else about this squad. So I need to hear from you guys on what the heck is going on with this squad in particular. But also, shout out to CJ for his squad, first of all. I had, Niners, the way that they came out in this game, the play calling. Now, honestly, the only thing that had me skeptical in this game, to be honest, was Kyle Shanahan, and that was based on personal experience. That was the only thing that had me like, please, please do what I think you could do, but also not what I've seen you do, right? So I need to hear from you guys on this particular matchup, and I need you guys to tell me, like, what the heck is it gonna take to get this squad that we're told year after year is Super Bowl bound to actually get there and even just win like one, like two playoff games? Come on now, like seriously. So I'm gonna start with Henry on this one because I actually agreed with that like argument you said. But I need to hear from you because I'm literally sitting over here like, huh?
Man, the Cowboys are gonna do the dumbass cowboy thing.
I mean, but
that means when the game is on the line and we need to play or we need to do something to try to win it, or we need to do something to try to stop them to get the ball back, we're gonna fuck it up. That play by Randy Gregory. What I tweet, I was like, Randy Gregory was a dumbass player.
Like, oh, wow.
You know what the situation and down is, you really just tackled the pulling guard. It made no sense. Like, what the hell are you doing?
Like a wrestling move. Like a WWE.
It was a wrestling move. That's a good point, Jordan.
And in the pulling guard, I'm just gonna take him to the ground so he can't go block absolutely nobody. It's just a stupid play. And then Dak again just missing some open receivers on critical downs when you need your – he's making $75 million this year. When you need that quarterback to make that one throw, two throws to change the outcome of the game, to change the momentum of the game, he doesn't make him. I don't know even what to say about Zeke. He has no type of burst no more. He made a couple of good runs, but we used to see those type of runs all the time from him. He just doesn't have it no more.
He looks worn down.
It's crazy. It's crazy.
So sluggish out there. It's like they. I remember we had the conversation. Who should we start, Tony Pollard or Zeke? And I was like, man, I'll start Tony. I see the burst, but I get Pollard. We know what Zeke has been capable of the past, 3 years. I think if they look at his numbers since his rookie year, his numbers have declined every year. Since his that crazy rookie year that they had when they went on that good tear up there when he was a rookie. So, yeah, I think maybe this offseason they maybe make some type of decision on him, but he for sure ain't got it no more. CD had a couple of drops that were huge drops. I know he had that one clutch third down catch, but, I mean, that really didn't make a difference in the game. But Michael Parsons was all over the field. And then, you know, people kept raving about that defense and that pass rush. It was kind of obsolete today. And let me go ahead and give this shout out to Josiah because he nailed it on Debo. Debo is – he might be my favorite player in the NFL, man.
He's it. He is it.
The way he plays and the way how Shanahan uses him because, man, he really is – a top five, top 10 receiver and a top 10 running back. That's how great he is. He looks so small, but he be running over linebackers like they ain't nothing. You see why they, at a young age, they gave him the name Debo because of how tough he was. So, but yeah, and then I want to speak on one more point before I pass it off to you guys. I didn't like that last play, the quarterback draw. I thought that was so stupid.
Yep.
Play. From the offensive coordinator. It just didn't make no sense. And then, of course, they want to blame the ref, but the ref was doing his job. He has to touch the ball. The players can't put it down here, so we go ahead and – no, that's the way it's supposed to go. And the coaches need to know that as well, too. So for you to even call that stupid-ass play, it's like it just made no sense. I love what they're doing the three plays before. They're taking advantage of what the 49ers defense was giving them, and they got some pretty good yards for three plays. So. And then for you just to end it off with that dumb crap play, it just made no sense. And then Mike McCarthy, your team had 14 penalties today. Undisciplined football. You're an idiot.
Yep.
So we'll see what Jerry Jones do. Of course, he spoke after the game and he said, you
know,
very, very, very disappointed and all that. And then, I don't know if you guys saw the video. The fans were throwing stuff at the players on the field.
Yeah. They were.
Yeah, damn. So this is what it's coming down to, huh? But, yeah, Cowboys, like just like Brandy alluded to, they always come in with all this talent, and they do have talent. But what
absolutely
is not getting them the Super Bowl. It's not even giving them a playoff run.
That's my issue. So, that's my issue.
So, shout out to CJ and his 49ers. They did their thing. But, yeah, Cowboys, once again, you go out to the offseason and ask so many questions. What can we do to try to make it? It seems like they try to help get a Super Bowl before, you know, Jerry is, you know, not around no more. So we'll see what the Cowboys do this offseason.
Yeah, I mean, this right here, man, it's crazy because it was hard for me to really pick. I think it was hard for, I think me and Jordan was on this show right here. I think it was hard for us to really pick. I know he had the Niners. I had the Cowboys. You know, but we knew it was going to be a close game because of how good both of these teams were. The Niners, as far as how they've been running the ball and how they've been playing on defense and how they've been rushing the passer, we knew they were going to be tough. And then me personally, I actually picked the Niners, and not to say faith or anything like that, but I picked the Niners to get to the NFC Championship this year. But I felt like because of how they were playing mid-season, beginning of the season, it just wasn't going to turn out that way. And the Cowboys, all the talent, like Henry said, we all talk about it. You know what I'm saying? I was fooled. I was telling Joey that today. You know what I'm saying? I was fooled by it because I felt like the talent they have, the better defensive coordinator they had, who may land a head coaching job somewhere, probably in Denver, you know, I felt like they had it going. And, you know, and you just seen what they was able to do. We talked about the schedule and the teams that they played. But it just – they went against a team that just really was a buzzsaw on defense. That's where I really look at it. The run game took over, and Debo, yeah, I mean, I don't really got to say much. Appreciate it, Henry. I mean, Debo is somebody that South Carolina, he's just a dog, man. I mean, and we talked about it at Fleming's, you know, somebody that looks like he weighs 240, 250 the way he's breaking tackles, but then he runs. He's not slow. He doesn't look slow at all. He's able to be a running back. He's able to be that wide receiver. He's aggressive in his route running and his catches. He could do the jump ball. He could do just about everything. I think the only issue with him is he just has to stay healthy, you know. And Kyle Shanahan, he's with the right guy because Kyle Shanahan is so creative with his scheme and his running attacks. And the Cowboys just really couldn't stop it. They couldn't stop it in the first half. They didn't let it really wreck the game. And that's why I give more credit to the 49ers defense. Because although the 49ers run game couldn't wreck the game and really take over, it was the defense that really didn't allow Dak to do anything. I mean, Dak had a bad game, period. I mean, he just didn't look good at all. The pass rush was after him. The pass rush for a while now has been after, you know, the QB, whoever they've been playing, you know, and the Cowboys, you know, again, we look at it because of who they have and who they drafted. You know, at least me, I was the one saying they could probably get out the first round. And I think the Niners was one of the teams I thought they can beat. That was before the Niners really started getting hot. They were hot, but they didn't. I think they still had a couple more games to play before I said that. But, you know, this team is the Niners, that is. They're legit. The Cowboys, they're going home. Like Henry said, the offseason, they got a long offseason. And, you know, it may even be longer, because if they lose a defensive coordinator, who I thought, Dan Quinn, I really feel like he really made some good changes, you know, with that defense. I mean, he had, you know, they were able to fit his scheme. You know, he runs that cover three similar to what we run over there at the Raiders in Las Vegas. You know, and they were able to get it done over there. Micah Parsons was balling. Obviously, we know he's probably going to win the award of Defensive Player of the Year, Rookie Defensive Player of the Year. So they did their thing, but it just wasn't enough. And the Niners, they played really good ball. So, I mean, you can't really knock what they did. And the Cowboys it just wasn't it. The Niners came to play on both sides of the ball. I mean, Jimmy was okay. You know, I wouldn't nod him to be, oh, yeah, you know, we already know his play. But Kyle Shanahan, his play calling, man, just the way he schemes up the run, it's just – you know, it don't matter who's the running back. It don't matter. It just don't matter. Or he'll use Debo. He'll use Debo as his running back / wide receiver. Or he'll use one of those third string, second string, whoever his first string running back is that game, and they'll take over. You know, and the defensive line is going to get after you. So the Niners played a really good game, and they did what they were supposed to do. So shout out to them.
Yeah, I mean, this was a game really to me. My biggest takeaway, I would think, apart from like what you were saying, Henry, as far as like the Cowboys just, you know, basically hurting himself and just finding a way to fuck it up, the other part of it was Kyle Shanahan just having a leg up on Dan Quinn in this game from a play call standpoint and like a design standpoint. And it was really noticed like when Kyle, he's rooted in that zone scheme, like the zone blocking scheme, right? Inside zone, outside zone is where he's rooted in, but he doesn't restrict himself to that. There's still power runs and gap runs within his arsenal. And once he gets you used to that zone, right, he gets you flowing, you know, laterally with the zone, moving with the linemen as they move, you know, gap integrity within a zone scheme. When he gets you used to that, then he's like, all right, we're gonna now force it down the B gap and then make you adjust.
I think the best description of that, Jordan, is that last play to Debo Samuel.
Yes.
That last run.
Yes. Exactly that, 100%. Zone, 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 zone. Here come a power. We got double pullers on this. Now everybody got to just, rather than, okay, am I got to cut back? Do I got to stay half a man behind him in pursuit? No, you got to get to your gap, and you got to get there, and you got to take on a big body in the process. Like, those type of split-second decisions are just the way he is able to vary it up. It's his feel for how – it's not just his design. His design is amazing. Different dudes can be different pullers. The usage of all these different body types. Like, Debo is, like you were saying, like both y'all guys are saying, and like you've said for so long, Josiah, Debo is half running back, half receiver. Kittle is half offensive lineman, half tight end. And then when he's in the open field, he's a wide receiver. Kyle Juszczyk is half offensive lineman, fullback, tight end, H-back, running back, like whatever he might end up being on any particular play. It's how they're able to use these Swiss Army knives in unique ways that I just love seeing and love watching on this team. It's just big shout out to that guy, the play calls that they use. And when Dak threw that pick to Kaywan Williams, they were running four stops, right? And it was a bad ball. That's probably Dak's worst ball of the day, because it resulted in his only interception that he had thrown throughout the course of the game. But it was just where it was placed. It was just like, it was so off target in an area where they're trying to establish something. And that ended up being what really, really put them down in that game. Because as soon as they got that ball back, the first play was then, here we go. We're going to run a jet motion going left. It's going to pull the linebacker because he caught DQ in man coverage. It pulls the linebacker out of the picture. Then we're going to run another double pull concept to Debo going to the right. And when Debo cut that shit back and turned north, like, it's like one of these is a Ferrari. The other is a Saturn. Like, y'all are not catching this fool.
He's in a Saturn.
Like, I was just trying to think of the most like janky old car. Like, if you drive a Saturn, no hating on you. I'm just saying. You get dusted by a Ferrari. You know what I mean? Right, like, we all know this.
I totally pictured it.
Like, it's just like, damn, that's not going to end good for you. And that's just what came to mind. Just when watching that, like, wow, he's just has that different gear. And like you guys have said as well, when he's hit, he's able to finish runs. It's just, and to Kyle to be able to put him in these positions to be able to, you know, excel his offense off of all these different moving parts and hide the inequities of Jimmy. It's fun to watch, and I just love seeing them from that angle. 14 penalties on Dallas today, and
too many.
And the thing with Mike McCarthy in these penalties, yeah, sure, your team has penalties. That's an undisciplined example. But whenever they showed Mike McCarthy after these penalties, he's in the ref's ear. Why, bro?
Yep.
Randy Gregory is legitimately the first one they got. Like, one of the first plays, it was on the first offensive drive when the Niners was just ripping him with the run, right? On the first drive, he's literally lined up offsides. You just see him lined up in a neutral zone. And then flag, penalty. And then they show Gregory, like you were saying, Henry, stupid-ass Gregory with just these boneheaded plays. He's lined up offsides. He's going, wow. Oh, my God. They calling that today. What you mean? Of course they're calling that today. Your head is on the other side of the center's arm who's holding the ball. And then Mike McCarthy's sitting there looking at pointing at the replay on the Titantron, screaming at the ref. It's like, it's a complete difference today with when you guys, when the Tampa Bay game was going on and Carlton Davis had a pass breakup on a play, right? He takes his helmet off to celebrate, right? And Arians and Todd Bowles, what the hell is wrong with you? God damn it, we can't have that stuff right here. Keep your head on straight. Keep your helmet on. Come on, right? Accountability. Right. Yep. As opposed to Mike McCarthy, what are you guys doing to me? What are you guys doing to me? No, this is an example of a good coach and a bad coach. Accountability, no accountability, right? Saying that it's something else other than your own and self-inflicted wounds that got you in this position to begin with. I just can't do it. And then in the post-game presser, and from a source who knows Jerry Jones, according to an article released on CBS after the game, they are considering, based on the selection of the play call, which was a dumb one, as we highlighted previously, when they decided to run Dak up the middle on the sneak and try to get enough time left to kill it. Because of that, Jerry Jones says, you know what, I think he said this to an anonymous source again, that they are going to possibly consider Kellen Moore to be the head coach over Mike McCarthy. Now,
we knew that.
This is my point, though. Of course, Kellen Moore seems to be he's the hot coaching candidate. Mike McCarthy's we just tired of this dude, right? Of course, you know this. But if that's what Jerry Jones is using as a reason, Kellen Moore called that goddamn play, Jerry.
Right.
Kellen Moore called it. Kellen Moore and Fossil both sat there after you converted a nicely called fake punt and just tried to keep the punt formation on the field, right? Because they didn't think the Niners were going to sub. Kyle's like, no, I know. I see what you're doing. You're trying to maybe call a timeout. You don't have a play. If you want to run a play with your special teams, you're in the field again, go right ahead. And they wait. And they sit there and they wait like it's some type of staring contest. No, it ain't.
They get a dumbass delay of game.
Then they get the delay of game. And they like, oh, the ref got in the way. No, he has to again signal the start of the play. Like, come on. It's just, and you didn't need to do all this. You got your first down. The fake punt did what it needed to do. Now you want to make matters worse. I just don't understand it. I just don't have it for these Cowboy fans saying it. Like, they showing that woman in the stands, like, crying.
Oh, my God.
I thought it was
4 minutes left in the game? Like, I'm like, maybe her husband just told her, like, he won a divorce via text, and she crying about that. Something like that. I don't know.
As a person who lived in Dallas for years, no.
Yeah.
She was really crying.
She really was. Real tears. And I don't know. Shout out to CJ. Shout out to the Niners for coming in and doing that thing. And it's like we said, the talent was there. This Dallas team has pieces, right? They have pieces. I mean, we did pieces today. Micah Parsons today, as much as Kittle was getting to the second level and blocking him, and as much as Kyle had a plan to crack him like he did on that first touchdown with the crack block from Brandon Ayuk, as much as he was doing that, there were still plays where he was running sideline to sideline, being the only person shutting down that run game when they were getting wide. There was another time as a pass rusher where he's literally walking Trent Williams backwards. Like, I don't know if I've ever seen that. And he's succeeding 85 pounds or more to Trent Williams and still has enough force and power and explosiveness to generate that on Trent. Like, they got pieces there. But again, it just can't work. And for the reasons that we had all just laid out. So props to the Niners. That was a win. Dallas, I mean, it's just you are the reason for your own shortcomings. And until that is recognized from the top on down, shit ain't going to change.
Definitely agreed. You know what I also noticed too? Like, all of these amazing things Parsons was doing, I also noticed him needing a whole bunch of oxygen on that sideline. And can't help but thinking COVID effects. You know, you know what I'm saying? Like, he just got out of COVID protocol. Why is he? I mean, I get he was doing a lot, but that much oxygen inside, like, it wasn't an elevation issue. It wasn't any of that. So I hope that he's okay. Just moving on from that and that health protocol, because that was definitely something that I noticed in that game as well. Happening. Now, let's move on to our Monday Night Football preview. We do have the Cardinals and Rams, which is a very, very interesting matchup. Very interesting matchup. So we have the Cardinals at the Rams. I want to see what you guys think about this matchup, because this was the other game that I'm really excited about, and I go back and forth about for various reasons. It's hard for me to pick the winner of this one. And again, I have two scores, two different winners. Like, this is one of my, like, okay, tomorrow when I wake up, I will actually make my decision and put my bet in. But I'm curious to see what your guys' thoughts are about this particular matchup on Monday night. And I'm going to start again with Jordan on this particular matchup.
For this one, I would start it at... It's another part three matchup that we're going to get. And like you, this was the third game I really, really wanted to tune into this wild card weekend. And it's a question that has been asked before by many offensive coordinators, and especially offensive coordinators in the NFC West. How am I going to handle this man, Aaron Donald? How? Because the last time that the last time that the Cardinals and the Rams played against each other, Aaron Donald set this season's high for number of pressures in a single game. Aaron Donald had 14 pressures in that game. 14 pressures, 3 sacks, and a tip in the red zone that led to an interception. Like, it's going to be very hard. The way that he was just taking whoever, I think that was the game where, I can't remember, did Rodney come back for that game? I want to say that he did. And so if Rodney would have been back, that would have meant the guard was Max Garcia. But whoever the guard was, it didn't matter, whatever side. He was simply just taking this dude and, like, walking him into the backfield and putting him in the face of Kyler. And it was just disrupting anything that offense was trying to get going. And this is another question that Vance Joseph was faced with when he's played against him and tried to scheme against him before. And there's just probably no answer for it. There really just isn't. That dude is something else. And it's going to continue to be a problem for this Arizona offense in this game again. How much, if he takes the game over, in a sense like he did last time, then as being the driving force for that Rams defense, then it's likely going to result in an Arizona loss. But if they at least can mitigate what his damage is, then they're more likely to have a better, they're definitely going to have more success if that happens and takes place. On the other side of the ball, for Matt Stafford, this is like his most important game of his career. He's played in a playoff game before, but this is the first time we're seeing him on an offense or with a team that has other pieces in place. He's out of the doldrums of whatever it was that has that huge black cloud over Detroit that is there. And he had certain pieces in place. We've all talked about how Jim Caldwell had that team trending in the right direction, things of that nature. But now he's in a spot with Sean McVay and everything that Rams entire organization, that entire team has. It's all there. Now you got to go ahead and show up and do it, right? And it's really like a career, in a sense, like this is going to change the trajectory of his career. If he just goes one and out in the playoffs again, then yeah, this is what we all thought, Matt Stafford. Or it's like, no, this is why they traded all those first round picks to go get that guy that can make the difference for their offense. That's really it. The Cardinals defense throughout the course of this year, I've talked about many times, just more aggressive than they are sound. And oftentimes it's led to inequities in the run game as far as defending that goes. The Rams, if they need to, and if Sean McVay decides to dedicate to running the ball, they've really shifted over to Sony Michel as opposed to Daryl Henderson being the primary runner. And it's, for the most part, worked when they've looked to go to it. Like, it's been a way to just sustain drives and limit whatever those certain negative plays that do pop up more consistently than not within Stafford's game. You know, just like random wonky interceptions. But the last time they played, this is when Stafford was really in his bag and was just hitting stuff and just was very, very comfortable. And I see that unfolding again. I really do. This Cardinals team did not have a good finish to the regular season. They, as I have previously highlighted on the show as well, it's always been this way with Cliff Kingsbury. It's always been this way with Kyler Murray since they've been in the NFL. This is a chance to change that trajectory. This is the chance for like Kyler to go ahead and grab a postseason victory, for Stafford to do it, for Kingsbury to do it, for McVay to get back on that track of being the boy wonder kid genius coach that he was always labeled to when he first got to this Rams organization. And then showing that whatever deficiency was there with Cooper Kupp, or not Cooper Kupp, but with Jared Goff, is now elevated because of of what he has with Stafford and Kupp and everything else in place. The only other area I want to talk about before I hand it over to you guys, they signed Eric Weddle, right? They signed Eric Weddle for this game because Jordan Fuller, he got hurt in the last week of the season in that Niner game. And Eric Weddle has never played in this scheme before. He's a very smart player, so it's not to say that he can't pick it up mentally. But, like, the dude hasn't played football since 2019. And they have Terrell Burgess there who filled in spot duty for him. I really liked Terrell Burgess a lot when he was coming out of Utah. It was kind of one of my later round DBs that I was like, you know, this dude could be something. And they elected to go with Weddle. And when Weddle left, he had a long career. He had a long, successful career on several teams. And when he left, though, it wasn't like, hey, you know, Eric Weddle's still out there. He may want to play. No, it was kind of like, yeah, he played long, good career. He's done. And now it's been 2 years and he's going to come back. So he's going to come back and like, he's going to be able to like take on Rondale Moore in the open field and run with him down the field, tackle Kyler Murray in space. Like, I mean, I don't know how much that's going to present itself, but it's just that signing seems Rams-like in the sense that they will just be like, no, let me get people that I know and veterans, and that's going to make the team better if we just get someone rather than just, you know, I think Terrell's ready. He can do it. But, I mean, they have a good enough staff over there, Raheem Morris, Sean McVay, so I'll still put my trust in them at the end of the day when it comes down to this game. And personally, me, I have the Rams winning this one. I think they win by about 6, let's call it 6-7, 27, let's say 27-20.
I agree. I got the Rams winning this game. I won't even have to speak too much. Jordan brought up tons of great points. Let's see what the Cardinals will do to try to stop Aaron Donald. Do I think they have an answer for him? I say no. I don't think they'll be able to stop the force that he's going to bring from that inside pressure. for Kyler Murray to make it easier for Von Miller. And then Floyd to just kill on the edge of the defense over there. Yeah, Cardinals, they didn't finish the season on a good note in the late of the season. You know, especially that loss to Detroit, which was pretty much a blowout. For them to get blown out by Detroit, that just speaks factor. I know they went to the Cowboys and beat the Cowboys, but, I mean, we just see how stupid that team over there can be. As far as Matthew Stafford, yeah, this is a big game for him. A lot of questions over there in Detroit. Could have win a playoff game.
Facts.
Now he's over here with L.A. Great weapons over there, Cup. Triple crown winner over there at wide receiver. Got a good tight end. Cam Akers is back. We'll see. Maybe he got his feet up under him now. You know, this is finally coming back from his Achilles injury in the offseason. Odell Beckham has been playing really solid over there for them.
Yeah, he's coming along.
Yeah. So, you know, he had the game winner against my Ravens. So he's doing real solid over there. So, yeah, I got the Rams winning. But instead of Jordan, you said six. I'm going to go Rams win by 10. I'm going to go 30-20.
All right. Yeah, they both brought up some really good points, man. I got the Rams winning this game, but at the same time, they better win this game. I mean, Sean McVay, I don't see him going anywhere or anything like that, but they have traded a lot of draft picks. They're at a point right now where it's just they got to win.
I love that you said that, Josiah, better win, because you're right. They put
so much into what they have.
The future of their team for this year.
For the last couple years,
it's like they were all in the poker game. Is that all you got to offer on the bot? Nah, you took your watch off, you threw your wedding ring in, you put your shoes, everything.
You threw everything in. You gotta win. You have to win. You know, and they have the better team to win. I think that's why we all picking. I'm picking the Rams to win too. You know, I mean, the Cardinals, I like what the Cardinals has been able to do. I think their backfield is really what's going to hurt them. They lost a couple of their running backs. They're not going to be able to – I don't think they're playing. You know, Chase Edmonds was one of the – when the Rams lost their game, Chase had over 100 yards in that game. You know, so he's not going to – it don't look like he's going to play in that game. James Conner don't look like he's going to play in that game. So a lot of this is coming on Kyler Murray to really take over with his legs and in with his arm. And I just think that's a little bit too much. The Rams is going to really, you know, be able to take advantage of that eventually on defense into that game. Matthew Stafford, I think the only thing with him when it comes down to the Rams, he just needs to calm down with the turnovers. Has been, you know, it's been crazy. You know what I'm saying? Like eight interceptions.
They're so unexplainable when they happen.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. You know what's really going on with these turnovers? He's not really a turnover machine like that. We don't really know him from turning over the ball when he's over there in Detroit. So you get over here and you know, now all of a sudden it's just, you know, so he has to that's my only thing with him. I think he has to play well, because running game and running percentage on how Sean McVay runs the ball, it's not that good. It's not, you know, they don't really run the ball that well, you know. So Matthew Stafford has to play well. And I think the reason why we're picking them to win is because all of the talent that they have, and, you know, they're just, I don't know, just in a sense, in a way, that's why I say they better win, is because it feels like their back is against the wall. In a weird way. It shouldn't feel that way, but it feel that way. If they don't win, then what could happen? Anything could happen. Somebody being let go. You know, in my opinion, it feels almost impossible for Sean McVay to be let go.
He's not going anywhere.
But, you know, I've had people hit me up and say, hey, you know, you think Sean is going to be let go or anything like that? No way. But, I mean, he was part of them getting rid of picks and them getting, you know, them getting players to come and win now. But at the end of the day, I think they have enough talent to beat this Cardinals team. I think this team is going to rely a little bit too much on Kyler Murray, and I think the Rams will come and they're ready to play, you know. And I think they'll have enough to take over what the Cardinals is trying to do on defense from their offensive side, from the offensive side of the ball, and then on the defensive side, I just think it's going to be a little bit too much. On the defense side for the Rams, they'll be ready. I think it's going to be a little bit too much for the Cardinals. for Kyler Murray in particular to try to have to take over the game because they are missing their running backs. So, yeah, I got the Rams winning this one right here. Y'all both brought up good point or good scores. I'm going to say 20. I'm going to go lower. Jordan had a good one at 27. Henry had, 30?
I'm going to say. Henry, 20. We both had the Cardinals with 20. I had 27-20. Henry, you had 30-20, right?
Right, but y'all had Rams with. Yeah, so yeah. You had Rams. Jordan, you had Rams 27, right?
Yeah, 27-20 Rams.
And then Henry had 30.
30-20.
30-20. I'm going to go with the lower because I don't think they score. I might have had higher than that, I think, in our previous. I don't know. We might have talked about it. I don't think so. Anyway, I'm gonna go with 23-17 Rams. You know, I think they're gonna score a little bit more, but I'm trying to change the score depending on how y'all got it. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to change the score a little bit. But yeah, I got the Rams winning this one. You know, I'm going to go with 23-17 Rams.
Interesting. Now, I have this game a little bit closer than you guys do. However, I do agree with all the points that you guys have said, and I am still choosing the Rams to take this for the reasons that you guys pointed out. I think that... you know, Stafford has a few games with the Lions with playoff wise. I do see turnovers being my key to this game. And I'm hoping that he can kind of tighten that up. I don't see the Cardinals being able to overtake the Rams if the Rams show up to actually play and Stafford does what I believe that he can do, which is play a clean game, clean, solid game in playoffs. This is really what I've been looking for Stafford for so long, and I'm really glad, like, I was so stoked that he was, you know, free from Detroit and coming to a team like the Rams, especially with the Rams and the way they've made decisions this year, and they really have put it all into the season, and it makes sense in so many different ways, not just the new stadium and them hosting the Super Bowl this year, but just this seems to be like all in, just, you know, get in, go big or go home. So I really hope that they are they come prepared. They've watched film. They are ready to take on these Cardinals. I have my score actually a little bit closer, but I do have the Rams taking it. My final score for this game is 24-27, actually.
That's the closest game of yeah, you're the only one who has the Cardinals covering the, what is it, a 4-point spread?
Yes, I do.
In this game.
Three
and a half. Rams by 3.5.
Yeah, I was going to say 3.5. And when I saw that, I was like, I actually could go with that this game.
Yeah, still, I mean, it's 27-20. Yeah, still, they're just outside of it.
Yeah. We'll see. I'm looking forward to this matchup. I hope it's a good game. I do. I'm a huge Stafford fan, so... like, not even a knock to the Cardinals. I mean, I like Murray. I like their squad. I like what they've done, but they just haven't shown me enough for me to truly just back them deep in the playoffs. I really hope the Rams and everything that they've done this season has, you know, kind of paid off. But I really do like Stafford. I think this is his moment, and I hope to see that in, you know, Monday's game for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like you said too, Josiah, so many times the Cardinals, and we've talked about this on the show before, Kyler go be great. Kyler go be great.
Right.
Be right back there again.
Right back, bro. And now it's going to be really more on him than it was before because he's had, especially against this team. When they won, they've had their running backs really, you know, they had outstanding performances. Those running backs, particularly Chase, he's not going to be there. So,
Connor, what, career high in touchdowns and like receiving production this year?
Right.
But 15, I think it was 15, whatever it was definitely the highest that he's had. So, yeah. And then he had over 750 as far as yards rushing, which is second all time for him. So, I think he is 900 plus. He's never had
his ability as a receiver this year was just, it was unlocked.
Yeah, bro. Yeah. They did. Well, this is going hard. Having that back.
Not to mention the Cardinals on the road. Fantastic.
Great this year.
Mm-hmm. Better than at home, you know? So I'm hoping it's a good matchup. I hope we get a good game just because, you know, we really, none of us have a team in this particular fight. But, We're all on the same page, y'all.
I think it'll be the third. We will get three good games from this playoff. And this will be the third. From this first weekend.
I get what you're saying.
From the first week, from the wild card weekend, we're gonna walk out of it with good game, bad game, good game, bad game. You know, kind of how it went.
That's wild card though. That's
I feel like last year was a little better.
Because we were in it? I'm just kidding. It wasn't. You don't have to lie to me.
like last year we had Ravens Titans. That was a good game. Ravens came out victorious. Bills and Colts. That was close. That was the who is this Taylor Heineke guy? Heineken? What's his name?
Right.
Yeah.
That was the wild card of the wild card, y'all.
Yeah.
People was buying Heineken.
People was. I feel like last one I text y'all today. Like, we need to just fast forward to the end of this Philly and Tampa game. and like the Chiefs and the Steeler game, like, okay. Thank you. No, thank you. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. So, yeah.
Definitely. Well, next week we will get into our divisional matchups, which should be a lot more entertaining all around, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, divisional round is I've said it before, it's my favorite football weekend. If I'm taking my Raider fandom out of it, it's just my favorite one.
Right.
It is.
It better be.
Yeah, you're right. It better be. It better be. Yeah, that's a fact.
That's our show. Be sure to email us with your questions, comments, and statements to coverzeropodcast@gmail.com. To find all of the links to follow us on social media and also to find more exclusive content, visit us at tssaw.com. See you next week.